Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the summary of the Govardhan Leela. This is found in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with chapter 24. And there are four chapters in this Govardhan Leela. Lord Sri Krishna crushed the pride of Indra by prohibiting a sacrifice intended for him and initiating a substitute sacrifice in the worship of Govardhan Hill. When Sri Krishna saw the cowherd men busily preparing for a sacrifice to Indra, he inquired about it from their king. His father Nanda explained that the rain given by Indra enables all living entities to maintain their lives, and therefore this sacrifice should be executed to satisfy him. Krishna responded, "It is because of karma alone that living entities take their birth in a certain body, experience varieties of happiness and suffering in that body, and then give it up as the karma pertaining to it runs out. Thus it is karma alone that is our enemy, our friend, our guru, and our lord. And Indra can do nothing to alter the happiness and distress of anyone, for everyone is tightly bound by his or her karmic reactions. The material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance bring about the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this world. The clouds give forth rain when they are impelled by the motive passion, and the cowherders prosper by protecting the cows. Furthermore, the cowherders prosper residences in the forest and on the hills. Therefore, you should offer worship to the cows, Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill." After Krishna spoke thus, he arranged for the cowherd men to worship Govardhan Hill with the paraphernalia collected for the sacrifice to Indra. Krishna then assumed a huge, unprecedented transcendental form and devoured all the food and other offerings presented to Govardhan Hill. As Krishna did so, he proclaimed to the cowherd community that although they had worshipped Indra for so long, he had never appeared in person, whereas Govardhan himself had now manifested before their eyes and eaten their offerings of foodstuffs. Therefore, they should all now offer obeisances to Govardhan Hill. Then Lord Krishna joined the cowherders in offering obeisances to his own newly assumed form. Chapter 2. Lord Indra was overcome by anger when the residents of Braja cancelled his sacrifice, and so Indra tried to punish them by sending forth a devastating rainfall to Vrindavan. And Lord Sri Krishna protected Gokul by lifting Govardhan Hill, and for 7 days using Govardhan as an umbrella to ward off the rain. Indra, angered at the disruption of the sacrifice meant for him, and falsely presuming himself the supreme controller, then said, "People often give up the pursuit of transcendental knowledge, which is the very means for self-realization, and imagine that they can cross over the ocean of material existence by mundane fruitive sacrifices. Similarly, these cowherd men have become intoxicated by pride and have offended me by taking shelter of an ignorant, ordinary child, Krishna. To remove this supposed pride of the residents of Vraja, Indra sent the clouds known as Sangvartaka, whose function is to facilitate the destruction of the world. Indra sent them to harass the Vrajavasis with downpours of rain and hail. The cowherd community was very much disturbed by this, and thus approached Krishna for shelter. Understanding that this trouble was the work of Indra, Krishna decided to smash to pieces Indra's false prestige. Thus he lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand. He then invited the entire cowherder community to take shelter in the dry space beneath the mountain. For 7 consecutive days, he held up the hill until Indra finally understood Krishna's ultimate mystic power, and thus Indra ordered the clouds to withdraw. When the cowherd villagers emerged from beneath the mountain, Krishna put Govardhan Hill back in its proper place. The cowherders were in ecstasy, showing loving symptoms, such as flowing tears and bodily hairs standing on end. They embraced Krishna and offered him benedictions according to their respective positions, while the demigods in heaven rained down flowers and sang the Lord's praises. Part 3. Nanda Maharaj then described Krishna's opulences to the cowherd men, as Nanda had heard of them from his priest, Gargamuni. The cowherd men, unaware of Lord Krishna's power, were amazed to see his various extraordinary activities. The men approached Nanda Maharaj and told him that after seeing how Krishna, a boy only 7 years old, had lifted the mountain, how he had previously killed the demoness Putana, and how he had generated extreme attraction in the hearts of everyone in Vrindavan, the men had now become doubtful and were bewildered about Sri Krishna. How could he have possibly taken birth in the unsuitable environment of a cowherder community? Nanda Maharaj replied by relating to them what Gargamuni had told him about Sri Krishna. This happened when Gargamuni had performed the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. At that time, Gargamuni had said that in the previous 3 ages, Nanda's boy had manifested himself in white, red, and yellow forms, whereas now, in the Dwapara age, he had assumed his darkish blue form, known as Krishna Rupa. Because he had descended as the son of Vasudev, One of his many names is Vasudev. And that Krishna had other innumerable names indicating his many qualities and activities. Gargamuni had predicted that Krishna would prevent all sorts of catastrophes in Gokul, spread unlimited auspiciousness, and increase the ecstasy of the cowherd men and women. In a previous age, Krishna had provided protection for the saintly Brahmins when they were harassed by low-class dacoits, and there was no proper ruler in society. As the demons can never defeat the demigods in the higher planets, because they have Lord Vishnu on their side, no enemy can ever defeat those who love Krishna. In his affinity for his devotees, and in his opulence and power, Krishna is just like Lord Narayan himself. Overjoyed and awestruck by Gargamuni's statements, the cowherd men concluded that Krishna must be an empowered representative of the Supreme Lord, Narayan. Thus they worship Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. Part 4. A Surabhi cow and Indra, having seen the amazing power of Lord Krishna, performed a bathing ceremony for him. Ashamed of having attacked Vrindavan with a violent storm, Indra secretly came before Lord Krishna, offered obeisances, and praised him. Indra stated that although Sri Krishna is never caught in the current of material illusion, which is born of ignorance, he nevertheless accepts a human-like body and performs various activities to establish religious principles and chastise the wicked. By this means, he crushes the false prestige of those who presume themselves great controllers. Indra went on to declare that Krishna is Father, Guru, and Lord of all living entities, and that in the form of time, he is the agent of their punishment. Satisfied with Indra's prayers, Sri Krishna told Indra that Krishna had stopped the Indra Yajna so that Indra, puffed up as he was with false pride, would remember the Lord. Persons intoxicated by material opulence never see Krishna standing before them with the rod of punishment in his hand. Therefore, if Lord Krishna desires the actual good fortune of some person, Krishna brings him or her down from one's position of opulence. Lord Krishna ordered Indra to return to his proper position in heaven and serve there without egotism. Indra, along with the cow Surabhi, then performed a bathing ceremony for Krishna. Using the water of the heavenly Ganges and the milk of Mother Surabhi, Indra and the cow took this opportunity to bestow upon the Lord the name Govinda, and the demigods showered flowers and recited prayers.
Govinda, Govinda, I just worship Govinda. With no effort he controls the cosmos. He is the source of the whole creation. Govinda, Govinda, black and beautiful. Govinda, he is not void or impersonal. His form is spiritual, not material. Swamadi Deva Purusha Puranas Swamasya Vishvasya Param Nidhanam Govinda.